Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ceremony of baptism has much to say to us, to you and to me. It tells us first and foremost that God is at work. This is not merely just man's work or man's decision. This is God's work. And we need to understand that. God, after all, planned baptism. God has given man instructions on how it is to be practiced as well, as we have these instructions in His holy word. And God, therefore, also gave baptism a special meaning. Now, this was true in Old Testament times already, and it is certainly also true in New Testament times as well. As I hope to show this to you, on the basis of the text that I have announced to you, and also on the basis of the context which we have read together. And so I want to present to you the message by this topic, baptism from John to Jesus. In the first place, a provisional baptism. Secondly, a promising baptism. And then thirdly, a perfect baptism. Now, congregation, I once had a discussion with someone about John the Baptist and where he fits in. And the question of this person was, is John the Baptist representative of Old Testament religion or of New Testament religion? Well, with some backup, Bible commentators, I am at liberty to tell you that John the Baptist was actually the last of the Old Testament prophets. The last of the Old Testament prophets. He even dressed like an Old Testament prophet, doesn't he? And although he appears on the pages of the New Testament, he preached Old Testament religion in the same line as the prophet Isaiah. As Isaiah spoke with longing about the coming of Jesus, the Lamb of God, that is also how John the Baptist spoke of the Lord Jesus. And although we do not know if Isaiah actually did any baptizing, John baptized in the Old Testament style. Bible scholars commonly call that sort of baptism proselyte baptism. Proselyte baptism. That means that foreigners who wanted to become part of the nation of Israel and set aside and no longer practice idol worship, such people were then to be baptized. Proselyte baptism. It was then called a baptism of repentance, because at the same time they had to repent of them ever practicing idol worship. And so they had to put that away from them, and that is part of their repentance then as well. And so John the Baptist practiced that sort of baptism. This is why we are told, for instance, already in our text chapter, verse 4, that John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. But truth be told, it was a provisional baptism. This is also why we read in Acts chapter 18, verse 25, that Apollos knew only the baptism of John. Now, why do I call it a provisional baptism? Because a better baptism than John the Baptist was waiting in the wings. John's baptism was provisional, and it was incomplete because the ceremony itself only called for repentance and pointed to the judgment of God if there was no repentance. You no doubt will remember the words that John spoke to his hearers, soldiers included. Even now, the axe is laid at the root of the trees, and therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. That is to be read in Matthew 3 and verse 10. Now, in all fairness to John the Baptist, although his baptism only represented the need for repentance, in his preaching he did point to the Lord Jesus Christ and the need for faith in him. He refers to him in the verse before our text, after all, verse 7. There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose. But because John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, it could only be provisional, because more is needed. You know that, don't you? More is needed to be saved. More is needed than just repentance. Repentance, after all, it is good and it is necessary because, after all, it is evidence of a humble spirit and of a convicted heart. And we as parents, and I would also suggest we as grandparents, we should teach our children, our grandchildren, that there is that necessity to repent of their sins, because without repentance, there can really be no salvation. Repentance, therefore, is necessary. Well, now you might ask, well, what is repentance? And why should parents teach their children to repent? Well, because of the sin factor. Not only are we as adults sinners, but so are our children sinners, as innocent as they look at this very moment. They are still constituted as sinners. Children do not become sinners by imitation, as it is sometimes taught. They don't become sinners by imitation, but they are sinners by conception and by birth. And our form for the administration of baptism makes that very clear when it says that we with our children are conceived and born in sin. And then as soon as a child becomes of age, becomes to some sort of understanding, the child has to be taught this, you see. They have to be taught this, as has to be shown by word and also by example what it means to repent. And that is, of course, the duty of the parents first and foremost. And as parents, we are actually in the best position to do this. And again, you might ask, well, what does it mean to repent? Well, let's just listen to what Psalm 38, verse 18 says. It's a good example. For I will declare my iniquity. I will be in anguish over my sin. That's what repentance is about. And then also Psalm 69 and verse 5. Oh God, you know my foolishness and my sins are not hidden from you. In other words, we express this not only to others, but we express that to God primarily. You know what's so great about this, dear parents? God is so willing to give you and to give your children the spirit of repentance. He will give that. You can read of that in Acts 5, verse 31. So John preached and practiced the baptism of repentance. But God calls for more than just repentance. And therefore, let us consider in the second place a promising baptism. The words of our text are words of promise, because in it you read, I indeed baptize you with water, but he. And I want to stop right there for a moment. Who is the he referred to here in our text? Well, we know this already. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is his connection then to baptism? Well, Jesus Christ, after all, has ordered us this type of baptism, which we now practice with the following words. as you read in Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Now, this is what I call a promising baptism, as Simon Peter has declared it when he says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Now, what does this promising baptism represent then, you might ask? It represents the call to faith, you see, the call to faith. As John's baptism represented the call to repentance, the baptism that the Lord Jesus Christ initiated represents the call to faith after repentance. And what are those promises then, you might ask? Well, the promises are clearly laid out again for the form that we have been able to read. It is the promise of God the Father, that he will make an eternal covenant of grace with us, that he adopts us for his children and heirs, and will provide us with every good thing and turn away all evil or turn it to our profit. Then it is also the promise of Jesus Christ, and again we read that in the form as well, that he washes us in his blood from all our sins, that he incorporates us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. And also we receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Again, as we read that in our form, he will dwell in us, he will sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying to us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Now, these are great, these are marvelous promises, dear people, that can be summarized in two words: eternal salvation. Eternal salvation. That's the promise that is given to us here in baptism. Well, now, what do we do with these promises? What do we do with these promises? What does a promising baptism then call for? It calls for the response of faith. It calls for the response of faith. It calls for faith in these promises, you see, and faith in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the God of the promises. Again, here is where parents can be a great help to their children. You can be a great help to your children. Not only are you to show them by word and by example the necessity of repentance, but also the necessity of faith as well. And the best way to do that is to explain to them, as mothers can do it so marvelously, I have experienced, to explain to your little children what it means to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. To believe all the promises that have come to them in holy baptism. Therefore, dear parents, show your children that God is a promising God. And then in the simplest terms necessary, explain God's promises to them. Then tell them that all of those promises will be filled out, will come to fruition, will become true when you believe in God. Well, then, what is it to believe? What is faith, you might ask? Well, our catechism teaches that faith is a certain knowledge and it is an assured confidence. Faith, after all, is trusting that God's promises are sincere. God is not fooling. God is not fooling us. God is not tempting us. No, he comes with sincere promises to us. And faith is therefore entrusting ourselves to the God who promises. As someone has said, faith is believing in Jesus Christ and then also following him in the way he leads. That's faith, you see. And so, this is what we have to hold before our children. We believe, we entrust ourselves to God in how he will lead us and our children. Dear parents, teach your children. Show your children, therefore, by word and also by example, what it means to believe in a triune God. Let your children see that you certainly have a certain knowledge, you understand these things, and that you have an assured confidence. You feel in your heart, yes, this is true. And again, you know what? God is pleased to give faith to your children as well, even as the promises in baptism has set it out clearly. Faith, we know, don't we? Faith is a gift of God. And it comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. That means that God is so eager to have us and our children come to faith that he has given us a very simple formula. And what is that simple formula? It is looking to Jesus. After all, we read in the Bible, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the world. Look and live. Or as that hymn goes, there is life in a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who was nailed on the tree. On the tree, of course, means nailed on the cross. So a promising baptism calls for you and your children to this God-pleasing and God-given look of faith. But now, let me speak yet briefly of another baptism. And you say, is there another baptism? Yes, there is. Even a perfect baptism. And just look at our text again. John the Baptist speaking here and says, I indeed baptize you with water, but he, speaking of Jesus Christ, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, this baptism that John speaks of here is not a provisional baptism. It is not even a promising baptism, but it is the real thing, the real thing. It's what happens when there is that repentance and faith. Who is the he that John speaks of? Well, you know it already. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And John makes this very clear in the verse before our text, because he says, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose. That is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is no one than Jesus Christ who shows up right after our text, as it says then as well, and it came to pass in these days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee. But now, look at our text again, at what John emphasizes. Jesus does not baptize with water, but he baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And this is not a physical baptism at a baptism font or at a river, but it is a spiritual baptism. This is not a physical baptism font at the font or at the river, but a baptism that God himself does in a very personal way through his son Jesus Christ. And this, dear people, can happen anywhere. It can happen in church as you are listening to the preaching of the gospel, or as you are busy at home reading your Bible, or as you are engaged in prayer. This can happen at any time. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ baptizes you with the Holy Spirit, you are forgiven of your sins. The promises are then being fulfilled. They came to you at an earlier time. When Jesus Christ baptizes you with the Holy Spirit, it means that a new life has been given to you. Room has been made for the Lord Jesus Christ, and room has been made for the Holy Spirit to dwell in you, so that your body actually becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. And every true believer has been baptized by the Holy Spirit. This is one of the great gifts that the Lord Jesus Christ gives when you repent of your sin and when you believe on Him. He gives you what He has promised when you, way back, were baptized with water. And dear parents, this is also what you must speak about to your children as well, about repentance and faith, and why you must do so by word and by example, so that your children will indeed repent of their sin, so that your children will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the Lord Jesus Christ then will baptize your child, your children, with the Holy Spirit. Not only must you speak to them about it, but you must also pray about this as well, you see, that the promises which have come to them at baptism will be fulfilled in their life, and that through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, they may then be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, how may you know that you are baptized with the Holy Spirit? Well, some are of the opinion that being baptized with the Holy Spirit is a very high privilege, experience enjoyed only by a few believers, which make them able to speak in tongues and perform various miracles. No. If that was the case, then the kingdom of heaven would be divided into two levels of Christians, you see. The ordinary Christians and the Spirit-baptized Christians, and that is not biblical. But that, you see, that is not the nature of the kingdom of heaven. Every believer is baptized with the Holy Spirit, and every believer has a growing love for holiness and a growing hatred for sin. And check that in yourself. Is that the case with you? Is there a growing desire for holiness? Is there a growing hatred for sin? Because after all, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of holiness, isn't He? And when the spirit of holiness dwells in you, there is a love for God, and there is a love for the Lord Jesus Christ in you. And you cannot help but speak about it and show that as well. When you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, you will have a growing desire also to bear the fruit of the Spirit, such as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That fruit of the Spirit will become evident in your life. As the Lord Jesus says, by the fruit you shall know them. You shall know who are true Christians, who are baptized with the Holy Spirit. Well now, dear parents, it is my wish and prayer that you will enroll your children in the school of the Holy Spirit, so to speak. As He is pleased to teach you, after all, by His word and through your example, what it means, what Jesus Christ has promised. Let us then be thankful to God as well that He has gone beyond provisional baptism in giving His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the sacrifice, the great sacrifice for the sins that you and I have committed, through whom then we have that gift of repentance and faith and eternal salvation. Praise to Him alone. Amen.